Yes, we're gonna make it. Yes, we're gonna make it. Go by the Spirit and the Lord will make it through. For Jesus Christ has shown the way, and His words we will obey. Yes, we're gonna make it. We're gonna make it all the way. Yes, we're gonna make it. Oh, we're gonna make it. By the Spirit and the Lord will make it through. Oh, Jesus Christ has shown the way, and His words we will obey. Yes, we're gonna make it, we're gonna make it all the way. Yes, we're gonna make it, oh, we're gonna make it. Oh, by the Spirit and the Lord we'll make it through. For Jesus Christ has shown the way. Shown the way, and His words we will obey. Yes, we're gonna make it, we're gonna make it all the way. Yes, we're gonna make it, we're gonna make it. By the Spirit of the Lord we'll make it through. Jesus Christ has shown the way, and His words we will obey. By the Spirit of the Lord will
just headed out, ran out toward their house. But Painter families, kids, pray for them. Pray for I'm not going to just take up prayer requests right now, but I want to tell a couple of things. Sister Bryant is in the hospital, and looks like they're going to take their gallbladder out in the morning. So, and they say pray if they can do it laparoscopically. It's a much faster recovery to do that. And Brother Smith's at the DeCoin Ministers meeting in DeCoin, Illinois, and so we need to pray for the ministry too. And I just Brother and Sister Durham's gone to Missouri, and while I've got, since I mentioned that, we need to try to get the word out and talk to Brother Matt, be the guy to talk to. What time are they supposed to be back? Saturday. So they're bringing all their stuff down from Missouri, and they're going to unload it at a storage shed. So it won't take long to unload into a storage shed, but need a few able bodies that could be there to help them out, get that done. So we need to pass the word out to the ones that aren't here too, as well. But it's just good to be to come to church tonight, have that opportunity to come to church, have a place to worship the Lord, to meet together with the saints on a weekday. It can get awful lonesome out there. Bearing the load by yourself. Sometimes it seems like you're just bearing the load by yourself. To come get in and refuel, get a charge of seeing that, hey, I'm not in this by myself. I've got brothers and sisters that are here, all coming to a refueling station, filling our soul back up and getting a charge to go back out. I know I've got a phone. I got to charge it every night because I talk on it a lot, and so I got to charge mine up in the daytime. But I got to like to watch that battery go from empty to full. And just to come in tonight, reach out and touch the Lord. Reach out to touch Him, because he's worthy of our praise. And he's, because he loved us when we were unlovable. And he still loves us when we're unlovable. That's the thing. He loves it. My brother-in-law come up with a little saying. He said, when I thought the Lord needed me, it made me prideful and arrogant. But when I realized he loved me despite of who I really am, it humbled me. And that's where we ought to be with the Lord. Humbled. Because we know what we're really like, you know. There's times I'm not such a lovable guy. Sister Elsie, I know that shocks you. She goes, how could Brother Michael ever be not lovable? Well, you don't live with me. Al knows. He's worked with me. I'm not always lovable. See there? He knows. I could be a little bit aggravating, Brother Jerry says. That's one of Brother Jerry's favorite words, aggravating. If you take the R out, it still means the same thing. But I could be a little bit of a handful sometimes. And I know the Lord's sitting there and I'm scratching his head. That's supposed to be my representation there on the earth. Brother Michael, he's being a handful today. May have to swat his behind. Get on to him. But he loves me. His motives behind everything he gave us and the character that he's trying to put in me is not so I would be some minion of his, a robot, that he could just steer me to do anything which way he wanted to do. But his motive is love. Love to make me in the likeness of his dear son. Somebody he can have true, genuine fellowship with. That I be righteous. Well, you know, if I'm right, when I become righteous, 100% righteous, there's parts of me that's righteous and there's parts of me that's unrighteous. I haven't overcome yet. But when I know, I'll be, my joy will be full. I'll be complete in him when I'm 100% righteous. I will be a complete, whole, happy person when I have his character enveloped in my life. The problem is this other guy that's stuck in here with me. He don't want. He knows there's a price to pay. He's got to die because he's selfish, and he doesn't. He wants things to go his way. He wants to everything to be about him and self-fulfilling and him lifted up and all the center drawn to him. And the problem with that is that leads to destruction and that leads to ultimate death. Because when you sow a thought down that line and you reap a action, habit, character, destiny. Well, goes along with what Jesus said, that said that the wages of sin are death. Well, Paul said that in Romans, but thought I'm trying to get at is all that there is in the world is that lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Now, this all ties together in that when it's sowed in its end is destruction. Have you ever seen the most wicked people in the world? Saddam Hussein, Adolf Hitler. They were self-absorbed people. It was all about them. And they didn't care if they pulled you off the street and killed you, if it served them. Stalin, the same way. He just made out a list. He went through a list every week of who he was going to send out to the death camps out in Siberia. Well, that's the end. That's the furthest extreme of self ego. But it all is destructive. It has the price as death, that you're going to end up in destroyed. The only way you could get, yeah, that couldn't live eternally. That wouldn't be right to give somebody eternal life that always was about them. He is love. That's what the Bible says. Bible says that he is love. So, and Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. For sufficient is the evil. Sufficient, how's that say that? I always get that scripture. Is the day. Is the evil thereof. And he said, consider the lilies and consider the sparrows. Not one sparrow in the sky would fall without the Lord knowing about it. And he said, "Don't. If you ask your father, if your natural father, or if you, father, I would like some bread," and he wouldn't give you a rock. Or I want a piece of fish. Would he give you a serpent? Well, how much greater is our Father in heaven? He wants to give us good things. And I was thinking about how the Pharisees and the children of Israel became that if you serve God if some calamity should fall upon you, then it's some unrighteousness in your life. That's what they believed. Well, who has sinned? This guy was born crippled. Who sinned? Was it him? Was his parents, his grandparents that sinned? Or look at this guy. Look at all the trouble that's coming to his life. He must be rebellious. That's why he's having all these problems. Well, but God's not that way. If that was true, the early church had a bunch of sinners in there, didn't make it. Because they had persecution on them. And look at the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Faithful people of God lost homes, lands, were tortured, killed. Look at the early church, too. They were persecuted, many of them lost a lot of possessions, Saul personally had some of them put to death and arrested. They didn't have an easy time because they were serving God. They were giving their all to God, but they didn't have an easy go of it. It appeared to be. Look at our dear saints in our third world countries such as Haiti. Someone told me the other day, he said, well, I think this, he says, I'm not talking about the earthquake part of it, but I'm talking about, you know, everybody wants to talk about Haiti. He said, the people of Haiti need to trust God. And I said, well, let me just tell you something, brother. I said, you don't have the experience of feeding your children mud pies to fill their stomach up. I said, you don't have the experience of your pastor sending people away that hadn't ate in 2 days because it hadn't been 3 days yet. And then people coming out by the droves, walking miles to come to church. I said, is it the third chapter of James? Let's read that real quick. He was probably telling me that as he was pulling out of a Starbucks. I don't know. It's in the second chapter. Spending $3 for a cup of coffee. Second chapter of James, the 14th verse, says, what doth it profit, my brother, now a man say he hath faith and not works, can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and you say to him, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you didn't give him anything needful for the body, what does it profit? He's just using this as an illustration. Even so, if it has not works, it is dead, being alone. So he's telling, it's kind of ridiculous if you got people coming to you. He uses the example and says, hey, brother, be made whole, you know. Have faith in God, he'll take care of you. Excuse me, they're waiting for me at McDonald's. I've got a Big Mac on order. We have, right in America, we are have been blessed, and we haven't been even our poor here are far better off than people in other countries. I was getting tickled. I was at Walmart, and I don't want to put off on people who are overweight, because I'm got packing a few pounds myself. But there's two women, a lot bigger than me, rolling up on their Rascal scooters with piles of food that they were buying. Hey, they may have been buying for them and their 10 kids, I don't know, but it was a lot of food. But they didn't have to pay for it. I watched how they paid for it. Government paid for it. That's fine. I have no problem with a safety net in society. But my point is even our poor people, they don't have to stand on the corners and put out a cup and beg and ask people for alms. In this country, we are truly blessed. My, I, I mean, I'm not rich, but I've never been without a car. I've never been homeless. I've never been without food. Never went to the cabinet and said, "Guys, we can't eat." Now, we got close to that a couple of times, but we never have had to do that. I don't know what it'd be like to do that. But I couldn't tell somebody in a third world country, because they weren't serving God, because they were hungry, that they weren't righteous. I couldn't say that. Not after watching that film of people that didn't have anything to do, getting up at 5:30 in the morning to have prayer meeting, to call out to God to help us. Help us, oh God. We need your help. And right now, looks like the brethren in the meeting have raised the funds to pay for the tents. And we've got all the shipping figured out and how to get there. We just need to go get the tents. And so I'm real happy about that. We got another storm coming in, don't we? This one made it. The other one, did it even rain here before? Is that what it is? All right. We'll have to wait till this one passes by before we get to go home anyway. We don't walk out there when it's raining. But a lot of times the first storms that come through, by the way, when a storm system comes, those are the worst. Then the air atmosphere cools down, and the second one is bad. Second storms aren't as bad as the first ones that come through. I'm kind of a weather junkie. I learn all that stuff, pay attention to it. But to realize that, to come, I would rather be, though, under the mighty hand of God, in His care, Him as my Father, than without Him. No matter what country I was in, if I was in a blessed country like America or a poor, destitute country like Haiti, hope. There's a hope. You know those people who die? The people who die in America has got three cars and a big house and all the junk food that they want to eat and all the entertainment that they want to have. Their body goes to dust as quick as a guy ain't got anything. He goes out with the same as he came into life with. And so does, and which is no more or no less than the guy who had nothing that ended up with nothing. But a hope for eternal life. And I don't want that skewed in my mind. You know, some people have it skewed. They think you're going to live in a big old mansion somewhere in the by and by on the corner of glory next door to Jesus. And they have it all, a natural heaven of some sort. I don't know what, I have not a clue what eternal life is. Really don't. How could I? I'm a mere mortal man. I can go by this. Eternal life isn't even really described too much in here. It really isn't. It's very little description. We know we go into ruling and reigning with 1,000 years, and after 1,000 years be finished, I can't comprehend 1,000 years. I've only lived 40. 41, okay. But when I get in the Holy Ghost and I experience that life running through me, if that could last forever in a state like that, I'm for it. And if I have to eat bananas as long as my arm, I'll eat them as long as my arm, Dad said. Dad always joked about, he said, "I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but I have a feeling I like to hang my feet off into the cool, cool river and eat a banana as long as my arm." And Brother Matt's older brother, he finally said, "What if you don't like bananas?" And I used to tease him because he liked cinnamon rolls. I said, "Well, they have cinnamon rolls as big as hubcaps." Well, I get to enjoy some of the, you know, I enjoy life now. If heaven's going to be here on earth, I believe we're going to get to enjoy some of the paradise things of the kind that are natural food and climate. That'll be nice. But I know what it's going to be nicer? Where I never get offended at you, Brother Daniel. Because you never say nothing bad. And I never take nothing wrong. But it's just love. Is that? Oh, somebody else said talking to the mic. Didn't have my thing up there. I'm sorry. That was really bad. I walked way away from the mic. Where everybody is like Sister Elsie that thinks I'm wonderful and I could do no wrong. He says, singing a song. We sang a song one time. What will it be when we get over yonder? Well, and join the throng. I don't even know what that word means. But a bunch of people, is that what it means? Big crowd. A huge crowd upon the glassy sea. We'll meet our loved ones and crown Christ forever. This is what heaven means to me. A place where no storms, clouds gather. And I, you know, I kind of like a thunderstorm every time, so I ain't worried about those kinds of storms. You have a storm? We have storms in our life. Turn things upside down. Tear things up. And we leave a scratch on our head. Okay, God, how are you in this? How are you in this, Lord? This has happened to me. I've lost a close loved one to me. I'm in financial ruins. And I've paid my tithes. I've went to church. I worked hard. I obeyed the ministry. Why am I going through this? Well, I have to believe because he loves you. Because he said, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. His calling is without repentance, it says. He calls us because he loves us. He chose us because he loved us. I don't know. I can't. Sometimes there isn't an answer of why we go through some difficult times that we can see. But we got to keep trusting in the Lord, keep depending on the Lord. Keep believing on the Lord that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And but the reward we get is eternal, everlasting. That's the reward that I'm looking for. Praise God. Well, just a few things on my heart to share with you tonight. I guess I'll go ahead and take up any other prayer requests. Brother McGowan's not feeling good. He called me. And so they stayed home tonight. Sister Ratliff. Keep remembering. Her family, Sister Brenda, got a touch here. And I know she even talked about how she'd like to get a connection back with God through church. And so keep her in your prayers. Brother Oates. Okay. Sister Debbie Wallace got strep throat. Sister Lisa. One of your friends got killed in a car wreck? Sent? On the way to church? And we'll pray for Pray for what was the family's last name? Highland. Let's pray for that family, the Sarah Highland family. Devastating loss. Ariel. All right, let's pray for people. God, keep them safe. Brother Matt. Okay. Sister Reva, get some rest. Because she's starting to get crabby too. I know without my rest, I get pretty crabby. So. Okay. Mm-hmm. Brother York's really going through it with this chemo, and it's really affecting him, and he's just like no energy, just drags him down. He doesn't even want to go back and take another treatment because he's not even got over this one yet. So keep him in your prayers. And then she, I don't know if y'all heard Sister Lynette, but Brother Fred's, he's out of town on business, but he's got a real bad headache, and he's on some high potent anti-inflammatories, but he's still not getting any better. So let's pray for him. Sister Sandra. Brother Jerry wasn't feeling good tonight. Okay. Brother Jerry's not feeling, hasn't felt good for the last 3 weeks. Keep him in your prayers. Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll keep praying for then, Aunt Susie. Sister Abraham. Sister Abraham's family, an unspoken request. Okay. Let's take these needs before the Lord. Let's take up an offering tonight as well. And the ushers would come forth. And let me get this ready. Dear Lord, we thank you tonight for all your goodness and your mercy on our lives, Lord, for calling us and saving us and giving us the eternal reward. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for that, Lord. We have so many needs here in the natural, Lord. We ask you for all the different ones that are sick. Sister Bryant, Lord, sky that surgeon's hand. Let him do this laparoscopically so she can make a speedy recovery. We ask for it, Lord, to do that. Brother Doug, Lord, we ask you to touch him. Oh, God, touch him, Lord, in a special way. Help him get over this treatment, Lord. Oh, God, the family that was killed, we lost her daughter in a car wreck. Oh, God, the different ones that brought up different things. Brother McGowan, oh, God, touch Brother McGowan. Touch his leg, Lord. Help him get through this, oh, God. Oh, these elderly sisters, Lord, touch the Painter family, Lord. Say, cover them in the storm situation, Lord. We ask you to cover them. Be with them. Oh, God, each all the ones there that find these storms, Lord. Help the people in Haiti, Lord. Touch our people, Lord, there. Be with them. Cover them, Lord. Let them feel your presence. Let the food get to them and easy get to them. For their children. Oh, God, every need that was brought here, spoken and unspoken, bring it up before you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name, O God in heaven. Dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord. Hallelujah.
Country where no twilight shadows deepen, unending day where night will never be, a city where no storm clouds ever gather. What heaven means to me, what will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng upon the glassy sea to greet our loved ones and what heaven means to me. A place where there is no misunderstanding, and from all enmity and strife we're free. No unkind words to wound the heart are spoken. Now this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng upon the glass heaven means to me. And when at last we see the face of Jesus, before whose image other loves all flee, and when they crown him Lord of all, I'll be there. For this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng upon the glassy to greet our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get join the heaven means to me.
So glad to be here tonight. I'm so glad that we don't have to let a lot of things in the world hinder us from worshiping God. But I was thinking about what it would be like when we be with Jesus forever. And I was thinking about this poem that I got it at home on a little small card. I keep it right in behind the faucets of my kitchen, behind my sink. And it says, "Love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when truth wins out. If you love someone, you will be loyal to them, no matter what the cause. You will always believe in them, always expect the best of them, and always stand your ground in defending them." And, of course, in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7, it says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, and charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not believe itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hope in all things, and endureth all things." And I was thinking, if this was practiced all over the world, there would be no hatred, there would be no war, there would be no greed, which is, I believe, the basis of all sin. And, you know, everything comes down to greed. Greed for power, greed for money, greed, you know, in general. That's the problem in the whole world. But I'm so thankful that we have a hope. We have a hope of something better than what we find in this world. And that one day the Lord, he will banish all this, and then we will truly experience what heaven is.
Thinking of Brother Mike, he said, you know, he mentioned that, you know, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, when you die, you know, you both leave with nothing. And I remember that saying Brother Leonard used to say, you know, he used to say, "Bless God, when I come into this world, I had nothing, I still got most of that." You know. Oh. But, you know, I hope that, you know, that there's no weights of carnality that will hold us down, and we can be in the place of God and be known even as we are also known, you know. I was just listening what Brother Mike said, a few things, you know, and your mind cogs start turning. Mine's probably turned a little slower than some, but I thought of this scripture, and you know, everybody knows the scripture, and what comes to mind is it brought remembrance of I was talking to somebody, and after talking to him, it made me, you know, want to search scriptures, you know, find an answer. And it's at John 3:16, believe it or not. It starts there. That's where I'm going to start. And everybody knows the scripture. Wasn't there a football player that got in controversy about putting it on under his eyes and during the game or something like that, and then they made a rule and you can't put no signs under your eyes. I think one of them had a Taco Bell sign, I think, at one time, you know, he's advertised for Taco Bell or something. So, who knows? But anyway, I'll just read this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Thank God. Isn't that a great hope? My Lord. I mean, you know, Brother Mike mentioned that scripture about, you know, the sparrows, you know, and he knows when one falls, you know, and how our souls are worth more than many sparrows. So he is concerned about, you know, us, and we don't always understand, you know, why things are the way they are at certain, like Haiti, and we don't always know. You know, he made a statement one time. I think that his disciples were asking him about these people that were being persecuted. You know, well, what about these people over here? You know, what about them? You know, it seemed like it was unfair that they got him persecuted. If I read that right, and then he said, well, what about those 18 that, you know, the tire of I think it was Siloam, or something, it fell on them. Were they sinners above all sinners? And he just said, except they repent. You know, and what I got out of that is stuff just happens sometimes, you know. And, so, you know, as someone said, I think it was Brother Smith, he said, our time's any time. And, you know, we'd like to get to the place where God said, like Apostle Paul, well, I need to keep you around for a while. But our time is any time. And let me read on. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought of God. You know, I've said a scripture here a couple of times and misquoted it. I think it's I can't remember where it's at now. Proverbs I think it's 32. And this seems like this don't go with this. Well, maybe it's the other. I feel like I've watched some of these television shows during my life, and I used to watch that. I used to like that show that he was a lawyer, and he played Andy Griffin. Andy Griffin played a lawyer. Matlock, yeah. and you know, and all those lawyer shows, you know, they, you know, judge, if you just give me some leeway here, you know, I got, you know, and it's up to the judge whether he does or not. And that's what I kind of feel. I need a little leeway here. Well, I can't find it, but the scripture goes like this. Said, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, something like that. And also he that ruleth the spirit is than he that taketh the city. Well, it don't say greater. That's my point. I always said greater, but it says better. It probably means the same thing. I think we get the gist of it. I remember, you know, Brother Langer had a couple of scriptures. He used to add a word in there, and it meant the same thing as, you know, who is this coming out of the wilderness leaning on the arm of her beloved? Well, don't say that. It says leaning on her beloved. Don't say the arm. It has the same meaning, though. And then, but, you know, I just wanted to correct that because, you know, better and greater might mean something else to somebody. But that scripture, better is he, I'll just put the better. Better is he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. And 1632, Proverbs, isn't it? I'll tell you what, let's get that down so we'll have it. We'll know. We'll have it in black and white. All righty. And maybe I'll have it memorized. I won't be saying stuff like that. And 1632. I'll tell you what I did. I think I got scripture to Alexia. I flew into 32:16. Yeah, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Okay. Back to John 16:21. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know, as a young man, and it seems to be prevalent with men more so, is that, you know, we want to accomplish things. You know, we got to, I don't know what the words would be, conquer, build, you know, and no matter what, you know, if no matter what we do, you know, better is he that ruleth his spirit than he that is a great athlete or a great musician or whatever particular thing that we hold up and enjoy or would aspire to being. But also, greater is he that ruleth his spirit than he that is the biggest preacher in religion. Isn't that right? In other words, in here, in our church, you know, we aspire to be things and what I've seen in my youth is, you know, become part of the ministry. That was, you know, that's the greatest thing, you know. And it is, isn't it? It is, you know, that it's needful. It's God calls a person and gives them something they can do, and that's, well, the Bible says that. It says, he desireth the office of a bishop, desire for good thing, doesn't it? But here, and it's a matter of priority sometimes. Nothing wrong with that. But there's a priority to it. And here's the scripture. Again, I'll read it. That he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought of God. You know, Jesus made a statement one time. He said, I'm probably going to misquote this one too, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these other things be added to it. There again, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought of God. We could say, better is he that ruleth the spirit than he that taketh the city, or better is he that slow to wrath than the mighty. And not knowing, having the, as a young man, not knowing my priorities, you seek other things, you know. I thought, well, this is more important. I'll put more time here. But in my, I finally seen the light. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest. Isn't that what God wants for us to do? That they are wrought of God. They are wrought of God. I know that's just a part of it. It's the gospel is like a, like I say, a many faceted gem with many sides, many facets to it. And as Sister Abraham was talking, 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongue of men of angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I understand all mysteries and have all faith that remove mountains, and having that charity, I'm nothing. It's a matter of priorities in it sometimes. It's not that those things are not good. He wasn't saying they were good, wasn't good. He said, this is more important. This is what we got to have. This is where the rubber meets the road. But I'm thankful that God has touched our minds, touched our hearts, that we can, as the Bible says, in the day of adversity, consider. And I don't know about you, but I have adversity every day. I fight with that old devil. As someone said, bless his dear name. He's been after me all day. So I consider my ways, call upon the name of the Lord, and there's a ways to go, but there's a ways I've left behind me, and I know you have too. So thank God. Let's go on with God.